You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio, when we spend an hour talking to some really interesting local women about subjects surrounding their work, lives, children, as well as their amazing experiences. So I'm Mandy Dynley, and I'm delighted to be here again with Dave Gemetis, who will be working the desk so that I can concentrate on our lovely guests. So let's get on with the show and meet our lovely ladies. On today's show, we have some really interesting guests. The lineup is Claire Pierce, a qualified practicing coach and writer. Then we have Nasanka Wickramachi, recovery confidence coach, and she helps people to thrive after mental illness. And finally, we have Jane Alexandra from Dove House Fine Antique Fairs. We're delighted to have them all on the show and are really looking forward to learning about their various businesses. So to start today's show, I'd like to welcome our first guest, Claire Pierce.
Hi, Mandy.
Hello, Claire. Lovely, lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Brooklyn's Radio. So, Claire, you're a coach, facilitator and writer.
Yes.
So can you just give us a bit of background about yourself and tell us how you got into coaching and writing and how you come to be what you're doing today?
Yeah, thank you. So, yes, I trained as a coach in 2011, I think, when I still had a corporate job. And I was an internal coach within EY where I was working. But, you know, fast forward 2 years later, last year I took a sabbatical because I'd had enough of working in an office. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And thought, why don't I dust off my coaching qualification? So I started in earnest really at the end of, not last year now, the year before. And I also, about 7 years ago, did a writing workshop which introduced me to free writing, which it sort of saved my life. It's an amazing skill and a lot of fun. And it's really amazing in coaching. It really works really, really well. So I also run writing workshops, which are for self-discovery, self-reflection, and also they have the benefit of being creative and fun. But they are really interesting for people to reflect on themselves and just take a bit of time to be with themselves.
So how did you find about free writing?
Somebody recommended it to me. I wasn't convinced it was going to be for me, but I thought I would give it a go. I was at a point when I was trying to be more open to new things. So yes, I gave it a go and I just absolutely loved it. Yeah.
So what did you do? How did you find out? I mean, you found out, but was it a long course or was it a short course?
It was just a weekend. I've done quite a number of workshops since, and workshops in facilitating free writing workshops as well, but that was just a weekend, and I was working full-time at the time, so I was worried I would be tired by the end of it. You know, you have your weekend and then you have no time to yourself, but actually I came out feeling so energized, which told me everything I needed to know really.
What did they do on the free writing weekend? I'm really interested to why it's so different to other.
Yeah, so it's about, the idea with free writing is that you have a prompt normally. You can, I mean, most people know about journaling and diary writing and that kind of thing. And it's similar to that in that you're splurge, you know, you're just kind of writing, but you keep the pen moving. The idea is that you create some space for stuff to come up, whatever stuff that might be. And it's normally, oh, I didn't realize that was still on my mind, or that's obviously not resolved, or, you know, things. It just makes that space. And normally it's done with a prompt. So I will give people in my workshops a prompt, normally around a theme, and give them 5 minutes and they have to just write and keep going and see what happens. From that prompt. Whatever it might be. It might be something like, you know, how did I get here today? Or it might be, what if I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be? Or, you know, I did one on planets when it was the anniversary of the moon landings last year. So I got everybody to be a planet. So they had to create a planet and I gave them different prompts throughout that. So that it's, you can do anything with it. And I like to have a bit of fun with it and be quite creative in the prompts I give people. But yeah, it's always entertaining. And then people always share. They don't ever have to, but I encourage people to share because there's something about being witnessed in your sort of less than perfectness, because everybody thinks they're a bit weird and what they write is a bit mad, which it normally is, which is great, you know, and sharing that with other people is a really liberating thing to do. Mm. So it's got so many layers, so many benefits.
Yeah. I love what you said about the world, creating it, because I remember my son had something to do at school, and he had to create, all the children had to create a world of their own.
Right.
So my son's world was George's world. And the things that he had, obviously he had chocolate and football.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. And you go, it was a planet, sorry, not a world. And I just thought, what, that's amazing. It really opens up your imagination, because what would you really want in a planet?
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
It's not something I've only ever heard it once before.
Right.
So that's really, yeah. Mm. So how do you feel now? So you were in the corporate environment, is that right?
Yes.
Before?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I was a project manager at Ernst & Young, the accountancy firm. And then after that, so I left there, and then I worked part-time for Mencap, helping people to find work, mm-hmm. supporting people to find work. But it was still an office, and it was still full-time, and I had
commuting.
Still had enough. Yeah, yeah. So it's a very different life, much happier one.
Yeah, lovely, because they say, don't they, if you do something out of your passion, then that's the thing to do.
Yes, yeah.
You're happy in a good place then.
Yes, I'm still working it out. I'm still finding what it is that I really enjoy, you know, above all else. And I haven't quite got there yet, but I'm experimenting with different things. And
but I think we're always on a bit of a route to discovering something about ourselves, aren't we? And pushing
it evolves,
challenging.
Yeah.
So I can see through my research that you do a lot of writing, you do coaching. Can you tell us, before we move back to the writing, can you tell us a little bit about your coaching and how that works with your writing as well?
So I coach people. I don't have a particular specialism in terms of what people come to me with. It's normally career. Normally people are unhappy in their jobs, unsurprisingly. Mm. And what I was reflecting on this yesterday and thinking, I think what I help people do is kind of come back to themselves, come home to themselves, and re-find or discover new resources that they either didn't know they had or have forgotten they had. Because once people have those and feel that they have all their parts of them together, they can do whatever they want to do. There's no other work to be done then. So I think that's the commonality when I'm coaching people. And the writing is great. Even like at the start of my coaching sessions, I'll get people to do 5 minutes of writing from If Coaching Works. That's the prompt. And, you know, that's obviously... And the great thing about writing is people will always write more than they would say. So I might say to you, oh, Mandy, well, I'd really like to, you know, have a new job and la, 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 la. But if I write it, other stuff will come out, which, you know, and it's normally nothing to do with people's careers that are the issues. You know, it's that they've lost touch with themselves somehow. Yeah, and also there's a technique in free writing called dialoguing, where you write with different parts of yourself. And so I was coaching a musician last week, actually, who had a really strict mentor called Des. I think I can say his name, that's okay. And we were sort of channeling Des, because it was, you know, the voice that he was hearing in his head, he realised wasn't his. And by using writing, you can kind of write to that person and say, well, thank you, Des, you know, these bits were really useful, but these bits weren't. And you can get into a dialogue where you're starting to put you back in control. You're behind the desk rather than your fear or your anxiety, or, you know, there's all these different, or your anger, there's all these different parts of us that can run us. And it feels like we don't have a choice about that. But if you start finding all these bits and naming them and getting them to talk to each other, it can really bring stuff, really useful things out. Yeah,
getting those negative voices in our head down onto paper.
Yeah, get them out, get them all out.
Yes.
Absolutely. The good ones, the bad, the ugly, get them all out and have a... I did for myself once, I called it the Jerry Springer exercise. And I basically wrote that there was two bits of me on the stage. I was also Jerry Springer. And then I actually brought myself out onto the stage. I didn't know this was going to happen. It just happened as I was writing. So there was all these different bits of me going, yeah, but what about la, la, la? And it sounds a bit mad. But it's so useful, because then there's nothing sort of you're pushing away, you know, and you can then, yeah, you can start to have a conversation and negotiate and say, well, okay, I'll do that, but I want us to do this.
So I can imagine someone like a musician, he's obviously willing, because he's quite artistic, he's willing to go with it.
Yeah.
You're bound to, I would imagine, you'll get people that are a little bit reticent. So, and obviously, we're all a bit funny, aren't we, about things that we don't know.
Yes.
So how do you get those reticent people to come on board with your... Because you know it works.
Yes. Well, I think it doesn't work with everyone, to be fair. I think it's useful to some degree. So I've coached a couple of people where I've maybe done one or two writing exercises and just I'm getting the vibe that it's just not for them. They're not really going anywhere different. And so it doesn't really work for them. And I just stop doing it, basically. So I always try it a couple of times. Pretty much everybody, I think, when they come to coaching is willing to try something different because that's why they're there.
To you in the first place. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it doesn't quite suit everyone, but some people are absolute converts. People still write to me and say, I'm still writing. I came up with this prompt the other day. You know, people get really, really into it because it's such a useful tool.
But in the world that we live in now, it's all very visual, isn't it? Lots of social media. We need to be able to write and put stuff out, especially if we're... you know, sole business people.
Yeah. And it can help. Yeah.
We need to be able to have all those skills, don't we? To vocalise.
Yeah. And it helps people with their other writing as well. So some of the people that come to my workshops are published authors. Some people just journal, you know, but people get different things out of it. So somebody who was in the middle of editing a book for the umpteenth time just wanted to write something fun, you know, so everybody gets something different.
Yeah, I heard something the other day, and this lady was talking about procrastination. Mm. It was on a podcast, and she was saying that she had to stop writing her book that she was meant to finish. And so she procrastinated by writing another book that she wasn't supposed to start, but it helped her to finish her first book.
Yeah.
I thought, we take all these different routes, don't we?
Exactly.
I looked on your website. You have some amazing testimonials. So I would advise our listeners to go and have a look at your testimonials, and we will give out the website details later. You also write a blog. And I looked on your blog, and one of your latest blogs was on Waterstones, which I loved because that's my favourite shop. But I thought, looking at your blogs, that was really good. It gave me a real flavour of who you are.
Mm,
I really enjoyed
I started writing because of the free writing. So I was a dedicated free writer, and somebody said to me, why don't you write something more? And I said no, it has to just, it's what it, I was very precious about this, you know, it comes out and that's what it is and I don't want to mess with it and all this rubbish. But basically I was scared to try, I think, so I did, I took the challenge and I did finish a piece. So I started the blog just to kind of keep me working at editing, and now I absolutely love editing to the point where I've got about 20 things I'm writing that I just constantly am editing, and they change as they go, and that's the wonderful thing about writing is that the meaning, I suddenly realise actually it's not about X, it's about Y, so then the whole thing has to start again.
But you're
but
a writer,
that's fun.
You're a writer
yeah.
that likes editing then.
I not, do
not
I love
of
it
writers don't like editing, do they?
Yeah,
or they find it a chore.
Well, I think there's the editing at the stage of, you know, you need to remove one of the ladies that comes to me who has got a book she's in the middle of getting ready to publish. She had the editor came back and said, oh, you need to generally reduce the commas, and she you know, thousands of pages, that I think that's maybe the kind of thing people
the daunting task. Yes,
but the editing in the
novel,
and maybe it's not even, maybe editing isn't even the right word, maybe it is just me writing it, it's just my process that
writing
it just
and rewriting.
keeps coming.
Oh, wow.
But that's the fun of it.
Do you know, I don't want to run out of time because I want to ask you about something else that you're doing as well. You're setting up a new club. Can you tell us about this club?
Yes, Boss Club.
I want to leave time for that.
Yes, I wasn't sure about the name at first. I thought it might be misinterpreted, but I've gone with it. So Boss Club is basically for people who are their own boss. So either you're somebody like me who is... you know, an independent, or somebody who has a small business and doesn't have somebody above them. And it's about making some space and time for yourself to sort of just reflect on what you're doing, check if you're going in the right direction, look at what's working, what's not. It will have a coaching quality about it. So we'll do exercises in probably some writing to assess where we're going and look ahead and think, you know, what actions am I going to need to do, or, you know, ugly things that need doing, let's do them now. There's going to be a section for that, like a bad phone call you don't want to do it, you know, so I'm going to include some time for that. So it's about accountability, it's about being with other people, sharing that experience, because it's really, really lonely, especially when you're used to being with other people. And yeah, so...
So where will that be then? Where and when? Can you give us a few more details about that?
So the I'm starting on the week of the 24th of February. So Fleet will be on the 24th of February at 2:30. Venue still to be confirmed, but it will be in Fleet. And then on the 25th of February, I'm going to do it in London at the same time. Lovely. Again, venue to be confirmed, but it will be near Waterloo.
So where will they find out if our... listeners are interested, will they go to your website? Will the details be on there?
The links, everything will be on there,
Brilliant. Talking about your website, we're going to, you might as well give your website details out now, actually.
Okay, it's cpsdayoff.com, and so that's CPS and then day off. And it's because of Ferris Bueller, because it's my reminder about not taking life too seriously. So it's based on Ferris Bueller's day off.
I like the
CP's day off.
I did get that. I thought that was a great title. Yes. So we've come to the point in our program where we usually ask our guests for some advice. So have you got any particular message you'd like to share with our listeners, particularly perhaps someone who would like to explore their writing ability or?
I think in terms of the writing, you don't have to, and I say this on my descriptions, you don't have to have any interest, aptitude, history, experience, you know, anything for writing. You can have never picked up a pen and written something down in your life before, and people give it a go and they really enjoy it. So I'd say don't be afraid to do it. And writing first thing in the morning, as lots of people already know, it's just such a healthy thing to do, to sort of get your, you know, the stuff that's on your mind out.
Yes, do you think that's the most creative time then?
The most creative time, but it's the best time for just a splurge, you know, getting, you know, when you wake up, there's always stuff on your brain and it's sort of clear. It's just a nice clear out, just to get it all out, really.
Well, thank you, Claire. I'm sorry, we've got to move on. Very quickly, can you... contact details really quickly again so our listeners can get in touch with you.
Yeah, so it's the website CP's Day Off and my email is cpsdayoff@gmail.com.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Claire. It goes really quickly. We're going to take a break now. You're very welcome. Short break, after which we'll be talking to Nisanka Wickramachi.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. Picture this. A Sunday lunchtime carvery where you can eat as much as you want with a choice of one, two, or three courses. You're free to help yourself to succulent pork, beef, chicken, or gammon. And if you wish, you can have them all. Add in a homely, family-orientated environment with free parking, and you have your perfect destination for the perfect Sunday lunch. It's all here at the Best Western Ship Hotel by Monument Green, High Street, Weybridge. Book now on 0800 393 130. We're one of the most welcoming places to eat in Weybridge.
Check out the Brooklands Radio website at brooklandsradio.co.uk. Listen to the live shows bringing you the sounds of Surrey with news, travel, local events and happenings. Plus everything from folk music to progressive rock to business interviews to Hollywood hits. Search our extensive library of podcasts or listen to entire shows through our Mixcloud accounts. You can see our schedules for the coming week and pick your favourite programmes and broadcasters. It's all at brooklandsradio.co.uk. On PC, Android and Apple devices or tune in or download our own free app. Love listening to Brooklands Radio. Loving Surrey.
Hi, I'm Jackie Mitchell. Join me for Surrey Business Affairs this Thursday at 1 o'clock. I'll be talking to leading business personalities in Surrey with expert advice and information to make the most of your business. That's Surrey Business Affairs this Thursday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio. Brooklands Radio.
This is Just Women every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Back to Just Women with me, Mandy Dynelly, and I'd now like to welcome Nisanka Wickramarachi. Hello, Nisanka.
Hi, Mandy. Hi.
It's lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And obviously, you can tell that I did struggle with your beautiful surname.
Don't worry about it.
I'm practicing.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Hey, Nisanka, I'd like to find out a little bit about your background. Yeah. A little bit about your background and how you started coaching.
Okay.
And why?
So my background is actually in teaching. So I worked as a teacher back in Sri Lanka, working with secondary school students. And then when I moved to UK 12 years ago, I discovered early years. I was just studying for my master's and just happened to walk into a building that was open. And I asked, have we got any part-time work there, you know, while I was studying? And then discovered early years and just worked in early years industry for almost 11 years, you know, just manager, early years teacher, and then trained as an inspector, but didn't really want to go and just do the inspecting. And how I discovered coaching was back in 2017, I was diagnosed with severe depression and anxiety. I would say that was probably one of the best gifts I've ever had in my life. And then I sort of discovered into different types of therapies and things like that. And 2018, I left my work and took a whole year off, whole 2019 year off, just to focus on myself. And, you know, when I researched different things and I came across coaching, and because it's all about future and positive mindset, mm-hmm. and there's so many tools to really dig into your strengths, I found it really interesting. And I thought, you know, I might as well do the training for myself. And I started for myself. And then as I was going on, I thought, this is amazing. This is a wonderful career to be in. It's very therapeutic. It's so rewarding to be a part of somebody else's success journey. So I started my business in coaching.
Wow.
That's how I got into coaching.
And you said from your experience, and I do think the best coaches out there have had those experiences.
Yeah.
And so you had, you know, as you said, that experience was a gift, which is an amazing way to look at it, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think anybody out there who is probably going through a rough time at the moment with depression and anxiety or any other mental health issues or any other past traumatic experiences, anything relating to it, and I'd say that's a gift. And I am actually talking through my own experiences, mm. and I'm not saying here's my glasses, wear it. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. What I'm saying is when you go through the healing process and when you learn a lot of things about you and when you come out of it and you just discover somebody that is amazingly wonderful and that has a person who has great potential and ability to live a very meaningful, purposeful, mm. and a fulfilled life, which you probably hadn't discovered before that. And some people are already there without that experience, obviously. You know, what I'm saying is anybody who is going through it, it is a gift. You might not realize it right now, but when you come out of it, you'll realize that is a gift.
I love what you said about the people that don't know, you know, their potential.
Yeah.
Know, it's quite heartbreaking, isn't it, to think that there are people out there who are just lost in a way. I mean, I've read that you help people thrive after surviving from mental illness,
health,
addiction, rape, or domestic abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me about that then, because there must be some trauma that comes with it.
Yeah. So when, you know, there are different layers as to why I do what I do with that area. I think one of my greatest inspirations is my grandma. So when I came out of my depression, 18 years later, my grandma's death, I was able to actually grieve her. And then in that period when I was grieving, I just looked at her life and I realized what a wonderful person she'd been. You know, she's been through quite a lot of trauma in her life, you know, domestic abuse, you know, all of that. She never lost the ability to love. She was connected to something greater than her life. And I looked at her and I thought, you know what? People do have that ability within themselves. And we might think we don't, but we do. Now, she's done it all without coaching or anything else, you know.
Your grandparents can teach us so much. You spent a lot of time at your grandparents'
house. Oh, yeah, I did spend a lot of time. Now, my childhood was because my mom was a teacher, so she went to work, so I spent my time with my grandma.
Lovely.
Beautiful environment in front of a reservoir, just beautiful house.
It sounds amazing. I would advise anybody to go to your website and read your bio, because it is, it was like a story in itself.
It is. My life actually itself is a story.
I wanted to read it all out, but we never have the time.
That's all right.
But what I don't want to do is talk about too yeah. much about the background without talking about what you do and where you do
yeah,
it. Because
yeah,
obviously
yeah.
our listeners want to find out
yeah.
how do you run your workshops? Because you've got some support plans, so your journey. Yes. How do they work and what does it involve for these?
It really does come down to what the clients want really and what they want to get out of it, you know. I've combined my coaching with emotional freedom technique and matrix reimprinting as well, so related to trauma release.
Can you tell us a little bit about the matrix?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, so the matrix reimprinting is basically just talking to your subconscious and actually changing some of those beliefs that you've created, your mind created when you were facing that trauma. So you release from that belief, negative belief, self-sabotaging habits and beliefs. That's what matrix is about. I've experienced it myself, and I can say it's just a wonderful thing to be in. Mm. And what you come out of, when you've been through that experience, you just come out of it as a different person, a very positive person. So I've combined coaching and all of that into my packages. So it's what you want. Would you like your trauma to be released first and then work on your future, or are you happy with just mm-hmm. focusing on your future? And that's why I just offer pre-discovery call, so you can find out, no obligations. And then again, I offer another half an hour as something called intake sessions. So you get a very opportunity to make a really good informed decision of whether I'm the person for you, and then whether coaching, this my package or my approach is the one works for you. And then just make a decision. So there are several packages, 3 months, yeah. 6 months and 9 months. And those are all rough programs, because it's very difficult to write an individual yeah. program on a website.
You can write a
oh, absolutely. It's yeah. completely tailor-made to your
and
needs.
And are they in person or online or both?
In person as well, mainly online, over the phone. Most of my clients have chosen to work on or over the phone
because yeah.
it's
yeah.
very comfortable. They can yeah. find their own comfortable space, and then they don't even have to see, and we don't need to see each other. There is something about working over the phone that the clients have found so far comforting. And I, as a coach as well, I just allow that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, online, phone. Yeah,
I think it works really well. Lots of courses are online, aren't they?
Yeah,
and I love
yeah.
them. In fact, yes, that's brilliant. Actually, talking about your programs, I was looking at some of your testimonials. Mm. Again, with our previous guest, I would go and look at the website and have a look at the testimonials. They are fantastic. You've got some amazing testimonials there from schools. So you
yeah.
work with schools as well?
Yes, I'd love to work with the teachers and the students. I've actually got another workshop on the 14th with another school in a local area.
Oh, fantastic. What do they focus on then?
So this is for the students, and I've actually written this program just to turn your stress into energy and results. I don't believe in managing things. That's my experience, and that's the coaching knowledge is telling me something about managing things. I don't think we need to live our life managing everything. I think we can turn that into something positive. So my workshop is actually about turning your stress into energy and results. So that's what I do, mainly aimed at students who are facing their GCSEs.
Yeah, that's a very difficult but I want to put my arms around, even the difficult children,
yeah.
and difficult, and they seem to come across as being mean or whatever they are, or just difficult. Mm. You want to put your arms around them all. I just feel so sorry for them. They're under so much stress.
Yeah,
I wish they should have something like that in every school to take that stress away.
Oh, I think so. I think so.
and to help them believe in themselves, because yeah. obviously there's a lot of children who are taking their exams who don't have the self-belief. They might be in a lower, class set, whatever.
Yeah.
So they think, but I always say, if one of my children has been in the lower class set, I always say, look, if you're in the lower class set, it doesn't mean you're the lowest in the world. Mm. It just means that group of children, you're in just in the low group. If you were to base it on the rest of the people out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. Children are marked on
I do have an explanation to that. And I think coming from an educational background and, you know, having studied it and then having lived it and worked in it. And I do think, you know, we're all individuals with unique qualities and unique abilities and potential. And when a government's education system is designed, it's impossible to cater it for every child, unfortunately. And that's why sometimes some of us are lost in it. And, you know, rather than actually blaming the government or, you know, blaming the system, my advice is just take control. Take control. Know who you are. There are so many ways of getting to know who you are. When you know what you're capable of, who you are, and, you know, there is no stopping you. You can really free yourself.
It might not be on paper.
It might not be on paper. There are so many successful people who've actually not completed their formal education in the world.
Is that the sort of message that you go into the schools and say, take control to the...
Well, what I would say is take control. You know, probability of us being born as a human being is 1 in 400 trillion. And I don't even know how to write that number. It's such a big number.
Yeah.
You know, what's the probability of somebody passing a test? It's a lot lower than that. And I think that's why it's important to look after yourself, focus on yourself, pay attention to yourself, and everything else comes together. And then that's talking from my own experience.
Yeah, that's great.
I focused on myself and everything else is actually coming together because you have more energy and you have more focus.
It's having that permission, isn't it, to be able to focus on yourself.
Absolutely. Give that permission to yourself because we are conditioned right from the beginning to believe different things. So it's very important to give that permission to yourself, of course, within the ethical boundaries and the laws.
Yeah. Yes, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, so you love coaching. Obviously, I can see. And talking to you, the passion is there and you care so deeply. But you've had a quick turnaround, which is brilliant. Obviously, you're now an accredited life coach, EFT and Matrix Reimprinting Practitioner, accredited DISC facilitator, MABA, CELTA, EYT, DIP and teaching. So that's a lot of
credentials.
Yes, a lot of credentials. That is it. So you know, anybody out there listening who thinks that, you know, you would help them, I would advise them to get in touch with you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yes, I just love it. You know, it's like I said at the beginning, you know, when you found your purpose and when you found that meaningful life, you know, nothing can stop you, really.
No. And I love the areas that you're helping in.
Yeah.
I think they're such worthwhile. When you spoke about domestic abuse, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 men in their lifetime.
Absolutely.
I just think, yes, and anybody out there needing your help,
yeah,
I think they'd be in a really good place. So, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our chat with you, Wissanka. So it just remains me to ask if you have any particular advice you might like to share with our listeners, particularly someone who suffered through mental illness and needs to change their life.
Okay. You might not feel like it, but like I said, it's a gift and your past doesn't define who you are. And if you take action right now, your future can actually be different, a lot better than what you might be experiencing right now.
So take
control.
That's wonderful advice. Thank you so much. And if anyone would like to get in touch with you, have you got your contact details? Website?
Yeah, so my website is www.coachingwithnisanka.com. So Nisanka spelled as NISANKA.com. So it's coachingwithnisanka.com. And my telephone number is 075-123-12984. And my email is nisanka@coachingwithnisanka.com.
Brilliant, Nisanka. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. Love to have you on again in the future. And now we're going to take a short break, after which we'll be talking all things antique fairs with Jane Alexander.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Brooklyn's Radio's audience is growing. Potential listeners are listening, but are they hearing your message? Maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't know about internet radio, or maybe I should wait. Well, instead, think about it this way. Do you want to be one of the first businesses like yours to advertise on internet radio, or the last? So why not tap into the power of Brooklyn's Radio easily and affordably? Contact Fiona through sales@brooklynsradio.co.uk. That's sales@brooklynsradio.co.uk. Brooklyn's Radio. Loving Surrey Radio. Brooklyn's Radio.
Hi, Bev Harris here. Join me for the first Tuesday of every month for Mainly Folk on Brooklyn's Radio. We used to be on a Monday, but now we've got a new home on Tuesday at 8 o'clock, but we've got just as many guests, live sessions, new music, both folk and Americana, plus now an unsigned feature as well. So that's Mainly Folk on Brooklyn's Radio, the first Tuesday of every month at 8 o'clock.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Hello, welcome back to Just Women with me, Mandy Dynley, together with Dave Gemetis on the desk. Thank you so much. Our third guest today on the show is Jane Alexander. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Thank you very much. I'm quite invited. Thank you.
Oh, it's lovely to have you here. I must admit, I looked and I thought, I know nothing about antiques, apart from Antiques Roadshow and those lovely programmes and the odd bit of pottery that I was handed down. So I'm all yours. I'm all ears. just let us know about antiques and the antique fairs.
Yes, people sort of have a bit of an old-fashioned attitude to antiques, but my background is always related to the art. So it's sort of, I suppose, another a string to my bow, if you like. I have now two antiques fairs. The first one I took over, which is in Dorking in Surrey.
That's a beautiful place.
It's wonderful. Yeah. And it has a great centre for antiques in West Street. So it already has a great history. But this fair actually was set up in 1976, so it's been going for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I sort of came to the fair as a standholder, so I was dealing in antiques myself. But the lady that I had at the time, she was quite elderly and she needed retiring. So she sort of said to me, about taking it over. So I did. I made the leap. And since then, we've sort of brought it back up to its original standards. Mm-hmm. And we've got two halls there. And we've got a fantastic bunch of standholders. Yay. They are really lovely. They really make a difference to an event. So they've got an amazing range of antiques available. And it covers not just the European arts, it's, things from Asian arts, tribal arts, right up to mid-century, so it's 20th century we're talking about.
So you're really careful who you have,
standholders. Yes.
Yeah, so you're careful who you choose.
Yes, yeah. So everybody that comes to the fair as standholders, they'll come, they'll contact me, I'll find out about what they sort of deal in, and also I sort of monitor how many people I've got that may be dealing in different specialisms, so you've got always got an interesting mix all the time. And so at Dorking, we've got with the two halls, we've got a real cross section.
Where is it in Dorking? You said it's in West Street. Did you say?
No, West Street is the Antiques Quarter, but the actual Antiques Fair is at the Dorking Halls.
Oh, Dorking Halls. Oh, right. Okay.
Yes. So there's lots of things that go at the Dorking Halls, but it's a great venue for the Antiques Fair. Apart from the fact having good space indoors, you've got the parking at the back, and you've got the cafe as well that's open. So people sort of come for, not just an antiques fair, they come for an event.
So it's a nice introduction to those who don't know anything about antiques, actually, isn't it?
It's perfect.
To go and have a wander around.
It is.
You must, going back to your standholders, you must have a great relationship with them, I would imagine, then.
I do. I think because I've been on both sides of the table, as I call it.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I've been a stand holder, so I know what, you know, they need. Mm. And being as an organiser, I know what, you know, the other dealers that are coming in to buy, public coming in. I have a lot of collectors. So they sort of want to be entertained as much as sort of going there to find the bits and pieces that they're looking for.
How did you get into antiques in the first place? We haven't covered that, have we?
No, I think it was a bit of a progression for me. My background is in the arts, and I was an interior designer in London for 10 years. But after working in that field, I wanted to sort of add something else to what I was doing. So I actually went back to university, and I did a fine arts valuation degree, which specialises in the antiques world with its auctioneering. And then I still continued on for another 2 years. I was a bit of a full-time student for 5 years.
How lovely, though.
But I had a wonderful opportunity to study at the Royal College of Art and the V&A Museum.
Oh, wow.
So it was a two-year master's.
Must have been amazing.
It was the most amazing place to go. Amazing place.
Gosh.
So, and of course, that sort of, you know, got me into more of the antique side and what it was offering. And so it was another development for me to start dealing in antiques and combining the interiors market with the antiques. So the fairs was just another progression, really.
But you're enjoying it.
I do enjoy it. You know, it's a lot of organising.
I can imagine.
A lot
but
of
any
organizing.
Event is a lot of organising, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, as I said, you know, the people really do make the difference. Mm.
And do you have a waiting list for stand holders?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do.
You do. It's,
yeah.
It's, you know, each month with the Dorking Fair, I run that 9 times a year.
Mm.
So we run from January to June and then from September to November. And I have a break in the summer because I need it.
Yeah. Gosh, yes, I should imagine you do one event a month.
Exactly.
Or two. You've got more than that, haven't you?
Well, now, you see, I've now taken on another fair,
which is Chelsea. Why isn't that actually in Chelsea itself?
It is. That one's in Chelsea Town Hall.
Yeah.
And again, that has a long history, that fair. That was started in 1980. And the organiser of that event recently stopped 18 months ago. But I knew these people. I knew the organiser because he's actually a stand holder of mine. I knew some of the stand holders. So I was I'm a familiar face to them. So they asked if I would take it on, so I did.
Wow.
But my first one will be on the 2nd and 3rd of March.
Okay.
And that's a two-day fair. And that's usually run twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing my first one in March. And then if I feel everything's going well, then I will look to do the second one in October.
So the March one, that's over a weekend, is it? Not having a diary?
No, it's the second and third. It's a Monday and a Tuesday.
Oh, Monday, Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah, it's always been run on a Monday and Tuesday. But what's nice about that is the first day opens at 3 o'clock and it closes at 8.
Oh, that's
so
good.
People can come in after work. Mm. And then the second day is 11 till 6, so it's a very civilised hour. So can people can sort of, you know, come in at those hours. And, again, a really good atmosphere. It's a very well-known fair.
Mm.
It's sort of, that one really caters for the collectors, but also the interiors market.
Okay, yeah.
So being in the King's Road.
Yes, it's been a great place, isn't it?
It's one of the destinations for whether you're, you know, buying for antiques or you are sort of buying for the interiors market. Mm. So, and it was really sort of my old patch, as it were.
So that's it. You're enjoying that. Am I right in thinking that the Chelsea Hall is really beautiful?
It is. It's Grade II listed.
Yeah.
Wow. And so when you go into the Chelsea Town Hall, you've got the big main hall, and then you have two, as I call the wings.
Yeah.
And they've actually just recently had a refurbishment in there. And it's just a stunning, beautiful atmosphere and very relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
My fairs are not what we call stand fitted. There is a difference between these two fairs. We don't have the sort of big boxes, I call it, where people have their stands in the boxes. It's all tabletop or they use the floor space. Some have poster boards to put up pictures and things. But it just gives it a more informal, relaxed feel. People don't feel quite so intimidated.
Okay, yeah.
And again, it's something to... an event to enjoy.
Mm.
And I think people tend to like the idea when they're shopping, it's one thing, but this is something they want to really enjoy and engage with. And again, the stand holders. you know, they love their subject.
Yes,
they really love it. They are very passionate and very knowledgeable.
You wouldn't be able to do anything like that without loving it, would you? Because
no.
There's so much to it, isn't there?
Yeah.
And of course, there are trends.
Yeah.
So, what are you seeing any particular trend at the moment in the antique market?
Yes, more so, particularly in Scandinavian arts. That's definitely become more prominent. Definitely with jewellery. With ceramics, glass, and fine art, that's definitely come through the last, a couple of years. The mid-century is something generally that's become more involved, but again, covering the glass and the jewellery, but particularly Scandinavian art has become very, very popular and beautiful. Really,
yes,
really lovely pieces. Yeah,
to note, isn't it?
Yes, very contemporary.
Yes.
I think people might misunderstand antiques as being very sort of dated. Far from it. Mm. Far from it. And fascinating pieces as well.
Really? Mm. I know it sounds crazy, but Scandinavia to me, wood. I always think about wood. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, no, I can understand. Well, I suppose because Scandinavian art is related to folklore.
Yes.
But as an art form, they covered all specialisms, mm. all material forms. But it's sort of more, sort of the design is more simple, more organic, and will cater to all tastes, actually, all age groups,
okay.
particularly.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And enjoy. Have there been any trends over the years that have surprised you?
I think trends to surprise me, I don't know if it surprised me, I think it sort of fascinated me a little bit more, and that's to do with more the tribal arts, actually. Mm. I think people, again, have a sort of particular idea of what tribal arts are, but some of the pieces are the most stunning. You know, the colours, mm. the textures, I suppose it's because my background is textile related, so I can relate to
yes,
that.
I can imagine.
But yeah, tribal arts I think is something that has become quite fascinating as well.
Okay, yeah. Gosh, it's so interesting. I as I said to you, I don't really know much about antiques, so it's really interesting talking to you.
Mm.
When the customers, the people who come through your doors, do they ask you questions? And if they do, you know, about the antiques fair. And if they do, what sort of questions would they ask you?
Customers come in, they usually sort of, some of them might be sort of regulars, so they know sort of who the people they want to see. If there's people that are new, they're sort of not quite sure quite what to expect. But I think it's actually when they come out afterwards, I find it more fascinating, really, because they sort of come out and their eyes are just completely, couldn't believe what they've seen. And it's very nice when they walk out with bags.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
Because they've usually found something really
yes,
quite interesting.
Yeah.
So they're sort of quite happy to walk in and just initially look around.
Mm.
But it's actually, as I said, it's when they come out afterwards, I get some wonderful comments.
Yeah.
Really surprised and very, very enthusiastic. And, you know, more often than not, I know I'll see them back again sort of the month after.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So, yes, I think it's actually when they're coming out the other end.
So can you tell me the dates of the Dorking fairs again, so that our listeners could, because we've got the Chelsea dates.
Yeah,
what about the Dorking?
Yeah, well, Dorking Halls it's run once a month, and it's usually the third or fourth weekend of the month. So for February, the next one is the 23rd. And the following one is the 15th of March.
Okay.
And then if you want to look at the remainder dates, then you can obviously look on the website or obviously you can contact me by email. So I can obviously give you the dates there. But
Brilliant.
The full listing is there.
Yeah.
So the next one will be the 23rd of February.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they're always on a Sunday.
Yes, always on a Sunday.
Always on a Sunday.
Yeah. And that's going. And Dorking is such a beautiful place. The drive through the Surrey Hills to get there.
It's lovely.
Stunning. So anybody that doesn't live in the Dorking area, I would advise just go for a drive, pitch up in the car park and go in, and would it be a gorgeous day out, wouldn't
it? Oh, yes, yes. It's always signposted anyway.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of people that sort of, you know, may not have even heard of it before that will stop and come in. So it's always, you know, it's well signposted and it's got, you know, free parking at the back, so it's really easy, really easy.
Lovely. I would encourage anybody to go along, definitely. So have you got any advice that you would offer to our listeners, particularly those who might want to visit an antiques fair for the first time? I've been, but I don't know anything about them. So what do they need to do to prepare themselves?
Well, they don't really need to prepare themselves. It sounds sort of something that they're sort of having to, it sounds like a daunting task. It's far from that.
Yeah.
It's something that you're coming to enjoy. And whether you've done it before or not. And it's just the experience of actually sort of going around and looking at all these things. And I think people need to think about that it's not just old-fashioned things. It's far from that now. These are quite educational as well. Mm. And a lot of these objects have a big history behind them. There's always a story behind these things.
Oh, I love the stories.
And that's sort of, again, what makes it more interesting. It's not just the financial value. Mm. It's the... you know, it could be an emotional attachment. It could be just a whole story behind it that just brings the whole thing together. It's really, really interesting.
Do you find that the stand holders love the stories then? And if, as soon as they get a story, they'll keep hold of it and pass it on?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's part of it. Yeah, it's very much part of it. And as I said, they're very enthusiastic. So at Chelsea, it's very much the same thing. You know, I've got great stand holders there, a great cross-section of objects. Again, sort of for the home interior as well as for the collectors and just general public.
Lovely.
So, yeah.
Oh, and thank you so much. But before you go, we run out of time so quickly. You've given some great advice to somebody who's going to an antiques fair for the first time, as in me. Mm. So if our listeners would like to get in touch with you, is there a better way to get in touch via email or your website?
Yeah, they can contact me by email, and the email address is dovehouseantiquesfairs@gmail.com. That's my email. And the website is dovehousefineantiquesfairs.com.
And all of the events, all the fair both dates events, are all on there.
Yeah, both events are on there. I also have a Facebook page,
and I'm also on
Instagram. Yeah. And there's various other sites that cover fairs, including Antiques Atlas and Antique News and Fairs. So there's you just have to put Dove House Fine Antiques Fairs into your...
And you'll find
into
it.
Into your Google, what have you, and you will find me.
Thank you very much. That's Jane Alexander from Dove House Fine Antique Fairs. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Well, as usual on Just Women, time flies. And I'd like to thank all of our guests today on Just Women. That's Claire Pierce, Nisanka Wickramachi, and last but not least, Jane Alexander. And also a really extra big thanks to Dave for putting up with me and looking after us on Just Women and helping us produce the show for today. Thank you. So all that remains is for me to say that we're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone who you think should be on our show, please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and we'll get in touch with them. If we could get them on a future show, that would be absolutely fantastic. And you can see details of our previous and future guests on our website, which is brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can also find us on Facebook under Just Women at Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening and join us again next week for Just Women. That's live at 1 p.m. on Tuesday and repeated at 8 p.m. on Thursday. So it's goodbye from me, Mandy Dynelly, and thanks again today for manning the desk.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.